Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming out. The song we just sang, kind of keep in mind while we go through this lesson tonight. And for those of you who are here Wednesday, you'll see this is really a continuation in that He Who Made Us message that I gave. Tonight, we're going to focus on the image of God. That's the image that we bear. And opening this morning, I want to go to Hebrews chapter 1 and just read through verses 1 through 4 before we get started. So Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoke to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So just kind of keep that in mind as we go through this. So we know at times, as it said, God came to the prophets, and He came to them in many different ways. He'd manifested in different bodily forms. So like Genesis 3:8, they hear God walking in the garden, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Genesis 18:1 through 3, Abraham is sitting in his tent, and the Lord appears as three men. He runs to them and says, "My Lord." And then Genesis 32, 24 through 30, we know that story very well. Jacob wrestles with God in the form of a man, or really it was of an angel. And then Exodus 33, 11, and then also in verses 20 through 23, it talks about Moses speaking face to face, but not in the full glory with God. And there's a couple other passages, but I also chose Judges, where Gideon sees God as an angel. So the physical or visual aspect is not the image that we bear of God. John 4:24 tells us that God is spirit, and those who worship Him should worship in spirit and in truth. Though yes, He did manifest in a human form and in some other forms, like light, fire, smoke, clouds, an angel, and even earthquakes, the reflection of His image or the reflection of His nature and character is the image we bear. And it's not simply an identity, but it is a purpose. So what should we look like? So all the way back, Genesis 1, verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Psalms 8, 4 through 6 kind of reflects the same idea. It says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Now, yes, that is about, the psalm is about Jesus. But hopefully we understand as we go through this later, how that also reflects in us. We are to be representatives and have been given a stewarding dominion over the physical creation by God. We reflect God on how we rule over and care for the rest of His creation, as ambassadors of His rule and not owners of His creation. though we are in a broken and fallen state, and we have been corrupted in this image that he's given us, we destroy it with sin. So our corruption, this is also another thing in Genesis, and I'm sure everyone knows this story very well when the serpent came to Eve. So we'll read through Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing God, or knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And now in Romans 3:23, we also know that we have all also sinned, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So in this, we know that each of us have sinned, and it's not like a stain from Adam and Eve, but it's of our own actions that we are condemned. Romans 5:12, it says, "Therefore, just as the one man sin entered the world, or through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned." So yes, we know Adam and Eve's sin, it bared a major consequence and it brought death into the world. But we don't bear one another's sins. And if we read in Ezekiel 18:20, it says, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. But righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." So why is sin so bad? What does it do? Now we see in the garden that Satan came, and this kind of goes well with what Brother Dave has been preaching in the mornings, how the devil can tempt us and pull us into doing the opposite of God's will. He says, look at the fruit, it's pleasant. You can go check it. And then Eve looks at it and sees it's desirable. And that word desirable can also be the same term for what would be lustful. It's something that's wanted. But sin has a distortion of many things. So I picked four things out. So sin's distortion of thinking. Sin removes us from properly understanding the clearly seen attributes of God, making us foolish in thoughts and darkening our hearts. And sin also has a distortion on our morality. Sin makes evil feel right, and our hearts then justify that evil. We then put ourselves higher than God had made us to be. And sin also stumbles on our desire. Sin being done once makes it easy to continue doing it. It even increases to more harmful forms of sin if we don't turn from it. This is what keeps us from entering the kingdom. So even though we have fallen and we are distorted and perverted our authority that was given to us by God, his image still remains in us and we still hold a value. So Genesis 9:6 says, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. James 3:9, this is by our mouth. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. In Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. So we are the only beings that are granted his image. And we hold value no matter our physical abilities, our age, our wealth status, or even the nature of our sins. We also, or also the harm we do to others about these things is dishonoring to God's image. And our words hold much power in how we can bear his image appropriately. Our value is that we still bear his image even though we're no longer reflecting it. So what is our model? What are we supposed to look like? How are we supposed to continue moving into the correct image of God? Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, but who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. In John 14:9, Jesus said to them, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is our perfect model. Jesus doesn't only reveal God's image perfectly, but he reveals what it means to be truly human as well. By obeying the Father and dwelling in his image as we were originally crafted to do, he acts in the dominion that Adam was made for and fell from, and also where we fail to live up to. So what is our restoration, or how do we obtain our salvation? Through Christ. So Colossians 3:9 through 10 says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Ephesians 4:22 through 24. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, but we all with unveiled faces behold as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So with these verses, we see that we can be renewed in knowledge, renewed in righteousness, and made holy by bearing our cross daily to walk as Christ walked. Though we have already fallen, we are renewed by his sacrifice and by obeying his gospel. Through this, we are transformed into that perfect image by faith and obedience to Christ. So, how do we make sure that we stay in that faith? What do we have to do to be in that faith? What is it to be conformed to Christ to fully restore the image? Romans 8:29 through 30, which we also read on Wednesday, says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. 1 Corinthians 15:48 through 49 says, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have bore the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. And Philippians 3, 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to him. So we can get through these passages that we are to be shaped more into that image of what Christ is, that perfect image of God. And we have an inner transformation and a future glorification in the body. The plan God has is not to sin and just simply be forgiven, but to be forgiven and in that forgiveness be transformed into a newer, better version of us, the version we were made to be. If y'all could go ahead and turn to Titus chapter 2. We're going to read through verses 11 through 15. So Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So that is simply our laid out path. We are to be soberly, to be righteous, and to follow in what Christ has already laid out for us. So continuing in how to be conformed to Christ to fully restore the image, we can read 1 John 3, 2 through 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Colossians 3:3-4. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And it looks like I cut off the last one a little bit. Revelations 22, verses 3-5. Let's go ahead and turn to it. So, and these shall be no more curses, but a throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So those of us who have died and rise with Christ will be risen to a pure eternal body, just as he has. We know his face, or we will know his face, and have his name upon us. There will be no more tears, no more pain, and we will dwell before him in the new heaven and new earth. Our call is to walk in Christ's image, which is the image of the invisible God. We are to be made perfect through his steps. Our identity is given by God and is what gives us our worth. The relationship we have with others demonstrates our Christ-like love. through this love and conduct, we reflect him and we are made holy. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This lays out our mission pretty clearly. Let, as we walk as Christ walk, our light shine to the world and guide people to the Father in heaven. Now, Jesus also prayed for this. If you want to turn with me, we're going to go ahead and read through John 17, verse 20 through 26. So John 17, 20 through 26. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one as us, or in us. That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you give me, or gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I know you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. So we are bearing his image in love and be one with each other to be one with him. And as we are closing out tonight, I want to just keep that in mind that the Lord actually prayed that for us, that we stay as one and that we believe in him and follow in his footsteps so that we can be one with him as Christ is one with him. So I hope that we see God's image isn't about physically seeing him or understanding him mentally, but being in the fullness of his love and reflecting him as Jesus did. We should leave here tonight asking ourselves if we are actually bearing that image appropriately, and are we abiding in him as he is in us? Have you taken the first steps to bear that image, which would be confessing with the tongue that Jesus is Lord, being baptized and following his commandments? And if you'd like to today, or if you have and yet you are struggling with love and need a word of guidance, please come forward now as we sing the song of invitation.